King James translation, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. It is he, Moses declared to them, that gives you the power to get wealth, so that he can establish his covenant that he swear to them as it is this day. Verse number 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you this day that ye shall surely do what? Perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. A covenant, brothers and sisters, is really an agreement between parties to fulfill certain obligations to bless or to benefit that party. So God, or people, can enter into covenants with an agreement that I'm going to share with you what I have. Something I have of benefit to you, I covenant with you to give this to you, to share this with you, whatever it is. I may be powerful enough to protect you, because I have a strong army or a mighty family, and we can protect you. Well, that is something I can give to you that can benefit you. We may have water rights that you may not have access to, so I can covenant with you to allow you access to these water rights so that you can be nourished and you can, you know, water your herds and so on. But anything that I have of value or benefit that I agree to give to another person, and vice versa, that person may agree to give something to me of benefit and value. In God's terms, it's a covenant. It's an agreement between two mutual parties for their mutual benefit. And it's usually an agreement between people or parties that trust one another. It's different from a contract. A contract is an agreement between parties too, isn't it? But typically contracts are agreements between people that don't trust each other. And so they want to make sure everything is signed and dotted and sealed and attested to for their own protection. God doesn't enter into contracts. God establishes covenants. He makes agreements with mankind for our benefit, for our good, for our blessing. And the good part about the covenants that God agreed to or cut, man really could not perform anything of really value back to God. So it's almost like a one-sided deal. God agrees to give all of this blessing and stuff to his people, and it's really not much we can give in return. Right. So when God cut a covenant with Abraham, on one occasion, he put him to sleep because he wanted Abraham to recognize it ain't nothing you can do in this deal, but trust me. You can't perform good enough to meet the requirements of this deal. All you can do is trust me. You can't give me anything that I don't already have and own, because everything is mine. All you can do is trust me. And if you will trust me, I will perform every promise that I made to you. I like God's covenants. Because all we have to do is trust and by faith receive the promises of God. Isn't that good news? So he says, my purpose for cutting these covenants in this case is because I've made these promises that I want to fulfill to you, to bless you, to increase you, to give you the power, the ability. When you look up the word power, it's the ability, it's the resources, it's the strength, it's whatever you need to get wealth. that I can establish this covenant, promises that I made to you and promises that I made to your fathers. And that's what God is doing throughout the scripture. And that's really what God has done for us, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about that as we close. But just think about this. God makes covenants, agreements with humanity to bless us. And they are covenants based on faith. Am I going to believe him? Am I going to trust him? And if I'm going to trust him, will I follow through with instructions that he gives to me? So he continues in the 19th verse as we read it, and it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God. How are you going to forget God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, huh? That is a whole lot, but it's a progression or a digression, or in fact, because it goes from one bad thing to the next. First, it's a forgetting God. It's really not having God first at the forefront of our hearts and minds, not thinking on him, not worshiping him, not spending time with God, which causes us to be so distracted that we allow other things to creep in and get in the place of God. So he says, first of all, you're going to forget God. You're too busy. You're going to forget God. You got too much going on in your life. Going to forget God. I can handle this on my own. I'm going to forget God. I can work this thing out by myself. You know, we're not going to consciously, not Christians, we're not going to consciously say, I ain't thinking about God. We ain't that foolish. But our practices can say the same thing. What we do, you know, we used to say actions speak louder than words. Our actions can say, I'm not considering God. Our actions can say, I'm not seeking God in my choices and my decision making. In essence, we've forgotten about the God who saved us, who delivered us, who made us a part of his family, who promised to bless us just by virtue of the fact I'm not consulting him as I journey through life. Are you understanding? It's not that you wake up in the morning and say, oh, forget God, like we do people. Oh, forget them. No, we don't say that. Like I said, we're not that. But we want to make sure that in our deliberations, in our decision making, in the choices, that we're not forgetting God. Okay? That's what he's saying, because then he says you forget God. Then he says, and walk after other gods. Allow other things to have that place that God should have in our lives. And we begin to listen and depend on those things. You know, we shared the scripture the other week where Jesus told them, you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to cling to one and despise the other. Then it goes on, but you cannot serve God and mammon. What he's saying, you can't serve two systems. We can't say we trust God, but we're putting all of our trust and confidence in the ways of the world or in someone else or in somebody else. If God's going to be first, then we need to cling to him. Because he says you'll cling to one and you'll reject and despise the other, but you can't serve two gods. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and man. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and mammon. It's been suggested that mammon was a system. It was a financial and economic system of a certain people. Some think of the Assyrians, others say of some other people, but it was a system. And if we get caught up in this world system, brothers and sisters, and we don't make that shift, then we're not really serving God, but we're putting our confidence and our trust in the systems. And we say it week in and week out, the systems of men are broken. The systems of men are failing because man, apart from God, is fallen. And fallen man institutes fallen things, right? fallen man can only come up with things that are fallen, things that are inferior, things that don't work right and equitably for everybody. And that's what the world is going through. People are in straits because things aren't equal. Even back in the old days, the 50s, 60s, things weren't, they were separate, but they weren't equal. Amen? They were separate, but they weren't equal. I mean, and it didn't take a genius to see that. The stuff for white folks was as nice as they could make it. I mean, they were nice and pristine and this and that in many places. I mean, some places, if you're poor, you're just poor. But still, they made things look better for the white folks than they did for the black folks. That was separate, but it wasn't equal. These are the toilets for white folks. These are the toilets for black folks. This is the white fountain. This is the black fountain. And all of these things separate, but not equal. But God's system, as we say it all the time, is a commonwealth. It is based on righteousness. It is based on equality. It is based on God loving all of his children and providing all of us with everything that we need to be successful. That's the system we want. We want the system where God promises to take care of us. He promises to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He promises that if we delight ourselves also in him, he will give us the desires of our hearts. He promises to provide us everything we need daily. And he promises to so bless us that we can bless others. He promises to be a God who shows no partiality. That's no respecter of persons. That's the kind of system we want to be a part of. It's the kind of system we want to be a part of. A system that will always stand. When the kingdoms of men crumble and fall, the kingdom of God shall always stand. So he says, if you forget God and worship other gods, verse 19, and then serve them. Who you yield yourself a servant to, that's whose slave you are. If we yield to the world's systems, we become slaves of that system. If we yield to the system of God, we are sons and daughters who serve. Whole different mindset. Not a slave. I'm a son who serves. A daughter who serves our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody who has status in the kingdom, heir and co-heir with Christ. Can you see it? It's a whole different status. Kings and priests of the Most High God. Whole different status. Not a slave, not a whipping boy. Not somebody belittled and demeaned and put down and ridiculed and mocked and scorned and spat on. No, but somebody that has been blessed of God, highly exalted, somebody that's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the system that God has given us. But we gotta make that shift, gotta make that change. Come on, I'm moving on. So he says they forget God, then they walk after other gods, or he warns them against it. Then he says, serve the other gods, and then worship them. Be careful. Don't do that. He says, because if you do that, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Without a doubt. You shall perish. You remember we shared Sister B's favorite verse from the other week? Where he says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he tells them which one to choose. He says, I bear heaven and earth to record this against you this day, or to record this. So heaven and the earth recorded what their decision was going to be. That's the same thing God is saying here. He says, I'm testifying this day against you, that if you do this, you shall surely perish. See, God is also the righteous judge. When he renders a judgment, it is settled. It is settled. He says, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish if you forget your God, if you follow after other gods, if you serve them, and if you worship them. Folks, we got to get out of these world systems. Got to get out of them. We got to make the shift. We've got to trust God enough to start moving away from these failed things if we're going to live to the quality that God wants us to live, and if we're going to be positioned to really not only be secure ourselves, but to bless others and to bless the saints and to bless others in this, along this journey. We just have to do it. So then verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now again, this is important. We got to understand, when God called his people out, he promised that he was going to protect them so that they would not incur the curses and the hardships that the other peoples of the world would incur. He was going to be a hedge around them. He was going to provide everything they needed so that they would be sheltered and they would be insulated and they would be protected from all of the sin and the corruption in the world. But he says, if you turn away and forget me and start following after these other gods and systems, you are going to be exposed to the very same things that they are exposed to. That's why, or one of the reasons why, so many Christians are still dealing with the same issues that people who aren't saved are dealing with. Because we haven't made the shift yet to trust God all the way for a different path. Remember, I shared with you last week, I shared multiple weeks from Psalm 23, where David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God wants to lead us and guide us safely through life, safely through the traps that the enemy sets for us, safely around the pitfalls that are designed to cause us to fall and fail. He wants to put us over in life, not to keep going under. He doesn't want you to get a little bit of money saved and something comes along and you have to spend all of that and borrow some more. He wants to get us to a place where we are safe and we are secure from the ups and downturns of the economy. We are safe and secure from plagues that plague humanity. We don't have to worry about the viruses that people are dealing with, the sicknesses, the diseases that people are dealing with, the upturns and downturns. We're secure from all of that. But it means we've got to know that God has promised us some things. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't always know the promises that we have. We don't know the power that we have. We don't know the authority that we have. We don't always know the rights that we have. And consequently, the enemy, who's going to keep trying you, he says they don't know their rights. So I'm just going to take advantage of them. I'm just going to exploit them. I'm just going to put all this junk on them. And if they're stupid enough to take it. Then I've won. Amen. How many know just because this devil sinned it, you ain't got to accept it? We know how to not to open the door when the mailman come. We know how to pull stuff out the mailbox and rifle through it. The stuff I want, I'm taking that in. The other stuff I don't want, just put it back in the box. And if it's not for mine, sometimes we put return to sender and we just put it back in the box. So while we keep accepting the mess of the devil, because you don't know, if you don't know, we're susceptible to be deceived. We're susceptible to be deceived. The enemy brings an evil thought. The Bible tells us we're supposed to take those thoughts captive, and then make them submit to the knowledge of God. But some, not us, but those who don't know any better, the enemy throws that thought, they catch the thought and start saying the thing that the enemy planted there. And what we don't know, what we have just done, I want you to understand, there are spiritual principles at work. God is looking for agreement in the earth. But Satan is looking for agreement in the earth too. Because he wants to copy and mimic God. He knows how God works. He was with them. He knows that God releases words of power and authority, and that those words of God come to pass. So he releases words and thoughts. He's just waiting for somebody to grab his words and agree with it. So God says you're healed. Satan says you're sick. You got a choice. And I'm going to agree with God, or am I going to agree with Satan? It's just that simple in the spirit. You got a choice. Whose report will I believe? Who am I going to agree with? So you can start walking around. Man, I am sick as a dog. I know I was feeling bad. Man, I knew that thing was going around. They talk about it. Everybody catching it. And man, this thing is, I think I got this. Who told you that? God didn't tell you that. God didn't tell you that. And I know God didn't tell us that, because seldom does God even recite the problem. Seldom. Sometimes he'll recite the problem and then give the answer. But most of the time he just gives the answer. So if you keep hearing the problem all the time, you need to, where in the world is this coming from? You mean to tell me God keeps telling me this? No, the enemy keeps trying to plant these thoughts there so you can grab it and agree with it. Amen. And we need to be aware of those devices. So God's waiting on agreement so he can manifest his will in the earth. Satan's waiting on agreement so he can manifest his will in the earth. Because again, God has given this to us. We say it all the time. Even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the sons of men. God has given this to us. A lot of stuff we're waiting to come to pass, and God said, I'm waiting on you. God, I'm waiting on you, God. He said, I'm waiting on you. But God, you don't understand. I need you to move. I'm waiting on you, God, to come to my rescue. God says, I'm waiting on you. What you waiting on me for? Well, God, I need you to do it. I need you to say something. I need you to agree with me. I've already spoken to you. Now I just need you to agree with me. God, I need you to fix it. I fixed it before I started it. I'm just waiting on you to agree with me. God, I need you to heal me. I healed you when Jesus gave his blood for you. I just need you to agree with me. Just need somebody that's going to agree with me and bring this thing into manifestation. So he says, listen, these things weren't designed for you. But if you walk away from me, then I promise you, he says, you will perish. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But then he went on to say, because they have rejected knowledge, I have rejected them. Folks, we can't keep rejecting knowledge and expect to be blessed and prosper. It's one thing to be ignorant of something. The Bible says that person will be beaten with a few stripes. But when you know, and you still keep rejecting it, he says that person will be beaten with many stripes. Folks, I ain't like beatings when I was a kid, and I don't like them now. Amen. I didn't like them then, and I don't like them now. But I tell you, the reason I didn't like them, so that's why I didn't get many of them. Because it didn't take many for me. I don't know about you. You know, everybody's kind of wired a little different, you know. Some people are sheep. Some people are goats. Some people are a little harder to get through. It didn't take all that for me. I didn't need many beatings. Some folks get a beating every day. They're just stubborn. They're just hard-headed. They're just rebellious. That won't me. I'm not, I want that kid. That's not me. I didn't take that many. Yeah. They talk about Jack and Jill bathrooms. Well, we had, now they would call it a Jack and Jill bathroom. It connected two bedrooms, a parent's bedroom, and then the bedroom, the next bedroom that had two single beds in there that we shared. We all twin beds. Thank you, honey. You know, we all shared rooms. We ain't had no luxury where you could just have your own room. We slept with everybody, slept where you had to sleep. But Dad would take us in between those two baths. He'd go in that bathroom, shut those two doors. So you couldn't run. You couldn't get away. And he'd take out. And I told you all this before, but I just get amused when I tell it. So he'd get that belt. He'd start wailing. He ain't trying to hurt you, but I mean, you feel it. Then he'd stop and say, you going to do it again? I said, no, Dad, I ain't going to do it no more. He said, yes, you is. Yes, you is. And he stopped. Yes, you is. And he started hitting you some more. Then he'll stop again and say, you gonna do it? No, Dad, I ain't gonna do it. Yes, you is. Yes. So anyway, that was enough for me. I didn't need many of those to realize I don't like this. You know. And young people, just the word, the wisdom. I don't even know if people get on punishment no more. So, because y'all modern parents, y'all don't even punish y'all kids. Y'all don't do nothing no more. What happened? What time out? Now, Johnny, go in your room and think about what you did. Thank you, Ma. Thank you, Mom. Let me pull up my game and go tell them to do everything I want to do in my room with all my stuff. Okay, let's get back to the word. Y'all give me a couple of you know, but I wouldn't want to be on punishment for life. I mean, some kids on punishment for life. I mean, you on punishment. When you get off punishment, you got to go back on punishment. I mean, some kids get punished every day. Some kids get a beating every day. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. When you gonna learn? We're grown now. It's time for us to learn. I don't want no more beatings. I don't want the world to beat me. I don't want to be susceptible to the enemy's attacks and stuff that God wants to protect me from. I want to be safe. I want to be secure. I want to enjoy this life. I want to live on purpose. I want my family to be blessed. I don't want no mess. Don't have time for it anymore. All right, so let me give you these last couple of things, then we're going to end up. So God enters into this covenant. He says, I've got a covenant with you, and I'm going to bless you through this covenant. So in Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to move quickly, not going to stay there. God calls Abram, and he takes Abram into the land of Canaan. He says, and I'm giving you this land, and I'm going to bless you and increase you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. In other words, you are my man. I've chosen you because I'm going to use you as a seed, and I'm going to protect you, and everybody that treats you well, I'm going to bless them. Those that don't treat you well, it's going to be rough for them, because I've got an assignment for your life. I've got a plan for your life, and I'm going to make sure that the conditions are right for you to fulfill the plans. See, folks, God has already ordained and established good works for us to walk in. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2 around verse number 10, where it talks about God has already predestined these good works. He's already prepared them. He's already laid them out. He's already planned them. In fact, he's already seen them completed before the job starts. Now, he just wants somebody by faith to get in line so I can take you through the process. When we get in line with God, he's going to accelerate our process. When we get in line with God, he's going to make sure that we succeed. Amen. So, Genesis chapter 12, he tells them, okay, listen, I'm going to bless you, make you a blessing, make your name great. Those that bless you, I'm going to bless. Those that curse you, I'm going to curse. Now, let's go down to around verse number, maybe around verse number 12. And we're almost done. Thank you all for your time. Thank you for your patience this morning. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 10. So Abram goes through the land. God hasn't changed his name to Abraham yet. He journeys through the land, through Canaan, Sichem or Shechem, through Morah, into the land of the Canaanites, in verse number 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down where? Into Egypt, to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So there's a famine in the land where Abram is, so he takes his family down into Egypt. If you notice, a couple of weeks or so ago, we talked about the Goshen land down in Egypt. It's amazing, but it seems like every time there was some trouble, God's people made their way to Egypt, to a place of safety, to a place of security, to a place where they had provision, to a place where they could hide out and they could be safe and secure until things changed. God has always prepared a place of safety for his people, always a place of security. There's always a place of rest to the people of God if we will listen to him and allow him to direct us, okay? So he goes into Egypt, and of course, you know the account. He tells his wife, listen, I want you to tell these Egyptians when you come into the land that you're my sister. Because I don't want any problems. I want to be safe and secure. You're going to be all right. So just tell them you're my sister. And sure enough, the princess also, Pharaoh saw her. Pharaoh called for her, took her into his home. And verse number 16, it says, and things went well for Abram. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. So he's in Egypt, and God is blessing him. People, he has favor with the people. But his wife is in the wrong place. His wife is in Pharaoh's house. Something's wrong with that. But God still protects him and her, even in Pharaoh's house, and God blesses. So in verse number 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues, because of Sarai Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister? I might have taken her to my wife. Now therefore you and your wife, you take her and you go out of here. Verse 20, Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So even in this situation that wasn't the best, Abram prospered. God protected Sarai, or Sarah, he hadn't changed her name yet either, even in this bad situation. We need to know that things aren't always ideal, but we can trust God to take care of us even in situations that are unpleasant, situations that may be difficult, even situations when we don't always do the right thing. Abraham didn't do the right thing. It was wise enough. They didn't kill him, but it wasn't the right thing to tell this man that your wife is your sister, but God still protected them. Folks, we don't always do the right thing. We should, but the truth is we don't always do the right thing. But we still need to understand, and this isn't saying just live like you want to live. We should seek to do the right thing. But sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we don't get up to that standard yet. And we still need to know that God has a purpose that will prevail. And God can secure us even when we don't always do the right thing. This is not a license to sin. This is not a license to live any kind of way you want to live. This is just saying that when we're trying to obey God, and when we're trying to live holy and trying to live godly, sometimes we make mistakes. And we still need to know that God is able to protect us for his name's sake. Because he has a purpose that's even greater than our plans. Many are the plans of a man, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. God's purpose is greater than our plans. So God can preserve me because his purpose is so much greater than my messed up plans. And thank God for that. Yes, Deacon Larry. Thank God for that. That's why Paul wrote that he's able to work all things together for our good. Even the dumb stuff, even the mistakes, God is able to work it into the plan. Even when I fall short, God can work it into his perfect plan. Even when I miss the mark, God just works that into his plan. Because he's trying to get us somewhere. Again, not a license to sin. But we need to understand God can work all that stuff into plan. Because he knew that we were going to do this stuff before we even did it. So it's worked into the plan. It's a part of the plan, you know. Did we understand? It's a part of the plan. I'm sending him somewhere. I blessed him to be a blessing. Along the way, he's going to make some mistakes. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. I better work that into the plan. Because I got to get him to the place where I've destined him to be so that everybody that's in him can come forth in their place. All right, I've been up here for a while, so let's see if we can't work this out. So in spite of that, God blessed him. Chapter 20, real quick. Same book, chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20, starting at verse number 1. And Abram journeyed from there thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned into Gerar. Now he's in Gerar, and here he goes again. He meets up with Abimelech, the king of Gerar. If it wasn't enough down in Egypt with Pharaoh, now here we go again. This is my sister. And the king, Abimelech, king of Gerar, verse 2, sent and took Sarah. But again, God protected her because God gave him a dream. And in that dream, he said, you're as good as a dead man. Woo! Because that woman you took, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech hadn't touched her because God protected her. And as we read on, he couldn't touch her. We don't know why he couldn't touch her, other than God protected her so that he couldn't touch her. But as we read on down, because we don't want to go through every verse, let's go down to verse number 7. Abimelech appeals to God. He says, listen, this thing I did, you know, my intentions were right. I'm a man of integrity. I didn't know that she was his wife. So God says to Abimelech, I know you didn't know that she was his wife and that you did what you did with integrity. That's why I'm giving you this opportunity to restore her. Verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if you restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, you and all that you have. God knows how to protect his people when we're his covenant children. We need to understand that even in adversity, some of us are going through adversity. God wants you to know he still has a plan, and it's a good plan for your life. So don't give up on God. Don't give up on God's plan. Yes, it's rough right now, but God is with you. If you will listen to his voice and allow him to direct you, he will bring us through whatever it is we're going through to keep us on our journey and on our destiny. So he wakes up early in the morning, verse number 8, and he calls his servants, told them what happened, and they were very afraid. Abimelech calls Abraham. What is this you have done? Why have you offended me so? You know, you brought on me and my kingdom great sin. Abimelech said unto Abraham, verse 10, what saw thou that thou hast done these things? What is it about us that you would treat us this way? Abraham said, I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake, and so on and so on and so on. Verse number 14, in interest of time. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah. And Abimelech, verse 15, said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where you please. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver, because of course he explained the situation, how she is the daughter of his father, but not the daughter of his mother, and so on. So I've given your sister this silver. How many? 1,000 pieces of silver. And behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes, and unto all that are with thee, and with all the others. Thus she was reproved. Verse 17, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God knows how to protect his people. The whole household was shut up. Nobody was having no children until Abimelech did what was right, because God protected and preserved Sarah. God will protect and preserve us, brothers and sisters, when we realize we are on kingdom assignment. We're on kingdom business in the earth, and God is with us and God is for us. Last place, and then we'll finish. Chapter 26. We'll finish here today. So now here is Abraham's son, Isaac. Not Ishmael, but Isaac, the son of promise from God. And in Genesis chapter 26, and there was a famine, verse 1, in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. We looked at that. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. This guy Abimelech, I tell you. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, verse 2, very important, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes. God says, I'm going to bless you because of your father, Abraham. I have a covenant with Abraham. And because of the covenant that I made with Abraham, it's a generational covenant. It's for your father. It's for you. It's for your son, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's a generational covenant of blessing. Everyone in here, if you got any children, the blessing is not only on you, but the blessing is on your seed, on your children, on your children's children. God has made that covenant. It's a generational thing if we walk before the Lord. If we walk before the Lord and make this shift and make this transition to doing it his way. Last couple of verses, down to verse number 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That's enough of that. Over to same chapter, verse number 12. All right. Abraham went where in the famine? Egypt, right? Isaac was told by God not to go into Egypt. See, sometimes we fall into those patterns. I mean, Egypt is a place of blessing. It's a fertile place. It's a good place. I mean, it just sounds good. Things get hard, I'm going to Egypt. When Jesus was being pursued as a baby, Joseph took him where? To Egypt. Nice place. But God here told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Don't assume that I'm going to do it the same way. Don't just assume, well, my daddy went to Egypt. It's a famine. I'm going to Egypt. Don't assume that that's the plan that God has for your safety and security. It could be, but don't assume. God wants to lead each and every one of us in our paths that he has for us. And it may or may not be exactly the same. I can't do it this way just because that's the way God told you to do it. I need to get with God and be sensitive to his direction so he can lead me in the way he wants me to lead. Now, there are some things that are applicable across the board. There are some things that are just constant. God's word, you read it in the word, it applies. You read it in the word. Don't do this, don't do that, do this. But specific directions, we have to seek God. We have to be listening for the Holy Spirit to navigate us through the process. Does that make sense? Yeah. He wants to get you to safety. So he tells Isaac, don't you go to Egypt. I know your daddy went down there. Don't you go to Egypt. I'm going to bless you in this land. Notice God directed him. He didn't just assume. He didn't just get up and go to Egypt, and he wasn't rebellious and say, I don't care, just because daddy went to Egypt, that ain't mean I'm going to Egypt, I can handle this. But he didn't do that. God directed him. That's the key. We're not just arbitrarily making decisions. Well, mom and daddy, that's old timey way. That's the way they used to do it. We don't do stuff that day. No, that ain't how we operate. We got to learn to do it the way God tells us to do it. Don't just do it this way because this is the times and the culture. Don't do it the old way because that's how we did it when we were growing up. That's how we did it when we were growing up. Don't you? You don't have to do it that way. But don't just be rebellious and say, well, I'm just going to do it. No, you got to learn too how to be led by God. All right. All right. Man, I hadn't planned to be up here that long. So he says, don't you go down there. You stay here. I'm going to bless you here. I'm going to give you favor here. Now, remember, there's a famine in the land. And it's a severe famine. But he tells him, you stay right here. Stay right here. How many would have just left? Things are hard. I'm moving. It's tough. I'm moving. They got jobs in Charlotte. They got jobs here. They got jobs in Fayetteville. They got jobs in Florida. Yeah, they got some jobs everywhere. But that don't mean you're supposed to go. And that doesn't mean you're not supposed to go. It just means we need to start being led by God. We can reason ourselves out of a blessing. Well, this is logical. They're going to pay me more money, but this one I get more days off, and this one and all. It don't matter. It matters to the world. It should not matter to a kingdom citizen. What matters is, where does God want me at this place in my life to get me to where he wants me to be? That's what should be the consideration. That's what this whole message has been about. What does God want? How does God want to lead me and direct me? Amen. It's greater opportunity over here for advancement. Yeah, on paper. But it's opportunity for God's people to advance anywhere we go. We got to understand that. Hi, Deacon Steve. I must have been too long. That one kind of slipped by some folks. See, let me tell you this as we wrap up, folks. It does not matter what things are going on. God can move us. God can place us. God can create a position for you. God can create a position for you. Well, this company don't hire. They only hire family. Huh? Yeah. But God can open a door for you. Because there's nothing too hard for God. And with God, all things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible. I just want to be where God wants me to be, Minister Gloria. If I'm where he wants me to be, I know I'm all right. I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm in line with God's plan. Last verse, verse number 12. Then, which means after all this stuff with Abimelech and Rebecca, same stuff he saw his daddy go through and his mama. And now he said, okay, that was a bright idea. So he tries, does the same thing with Abimelech. And now verse number 12. Then Isaac sowed where? In that land. He didn't go to Egypt. He sowed in the land where there was a famine, where God told him to stay, where God says he's going to bless him, where God says he's going to give him favor. He sowed in that land. See, we've said it before, but I want to say it again. People are making money when the economy is good, and people are making money when the economy is bad. People make money when the housing prices are up, and people make money when the housing prices are down. In fact, some people make more money when the prices are down than they are when they're up. We just got to be, it doesn't matter if it's a famine. God's going to feed you. It doesn't matter if they can't find a job. God's going to open a door for you. It doesn't matter if everybody else is sick. God can keep you healthy. It doesn't matter if everybody else's marriage is falling apart. God will bless yours. We got to understand, it does not matter. The statistics don't matter. The only thing that matters is, am I where God has instructed me to be, and will I trust God to do what he tells me to do? That's the only thing that matters in that equation. He sowed in that land, in a land of famine. Verse number 2. And he received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He sowed and he received. He sowed and he reaped. He sowed and he gathered. He sowed and he harvested. Folks, I can be where God tells me to be. But if I don't sow what he tells me to sow, I'm still not going to get the harvest. He was in the land, but notice the verse started with then. I've been in the land, but I ain't sowed nothing yet, Deacon Steve. I've been in the land, but I've been dealing with this Abimelech issue. I've been in the land, but I don't have any seed in the ground. I've been in the land, but I haven't obeyed God yet. Everybody in here that's saved, you're in the land. We are in the land, but we still got to sow. Meaning we still got to do what God tells us to do to get this harvest. He sowed and then he received 100 times. Not 10%. Not 20% more. See, if I get 10% on my money, that's all right. Amen. Some people, they put money in a savings bank account. What did they get? 0.7%? It might have gone up. Yeah. Point who? It ain't 10%. Oh, no. Oh, no. You ain't getting 10% in nobody's bank. Now, they'll charge you 10%. That's how they make money. They take your money and charge you more than they pay. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you charge more than you pay, you can get a profit. If you charge less than you pay, then you'll got a loss. Yes. Oh, we got to stop. So anyway, in wrapping up, I'm not done, but I got to finish. He sold in the land, got 100-fold return, and the Lord blessed him. Not 10%, not 20%, not 50%. Man, if you're getting 50% on your turn, that's major. That's unheard of returns. But 100-fold? 100 times in the same year? See, that's how God begins to work. He'll tell you to buy a piece of property that don't nobody else want. That old piece of mess over there. And then he'll tell you when to sell it if you're supposed to sell it. And you can walk away with more than 100 times. Huh? All right. I thought that one would make it a little more practical, you know. But anyway, we got to stop. So in closing, brothers and sisters, not only did God increase him, but God gave him favor. God blessed him. Every time he dug a well, the well sprouted up. You know, not a hit and miss type thing. You know, every time he dug a well, he struck what he was digging for. That's how God wants us to operate. Every time he tells you to sow, expect the harvest. Every time he tells you to plant, plant. Everywhere he tells you to give, give. Everywhere he tells us to go, go. Do what he tells you to do. It doesn't have to look right. Doesn't matter. Just do what God says do. Then we're operating in the kingdom of God system, which is a faith-based system. And the just shall live by faith. I'm done, folks. Any questions quickly? Because we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Anybody? Amen. Good. We're going to give the invitation and then we're going to close. If anyone wants to come to the Lord today, this is your time to come. God wants to bless you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, he wants you to be a part of his family. That's the greatest blessing that you and I can receive. The blessing of eternal life. Of knowing that God is going to favor me in this life and he's going to take me with him when I leave this life and I'm going to be with him forever. If you're here, won't you come? If you need a church home, won't you come? If the Lord is leading you here, we want you to be a part of the church, a part of this growing family. And then lastly, if you straight away, you just want to come home to the Lord, we come on up. Somebody will pray with you. And just encourage you in your walk. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He wants you to be restored in your walk with him. So if either of those invitations are for you, please come. Please come in the name of Jesus. After that, we're going to have prayer. Then we're going to be dismissed. Amen. We're ready for our altar call and prayer. Then we'll be dismissed. We're praying for the members on our prayer list. If some of those you have prayer list, we're also praying for Sister Sonia Gregory. She called and asked the church family to be in prayer with her. She's dealing with some health challenges. Did she want anything shared? Just want us to pray. So we're praying for her, dealing with some health challenges, and we really want to be in agreement for her healing. Brother Eric's brother, Edward Moore, we want to be in prayer for him, also dealing with a health challenge, attack of the enemy. We want to be in covenant prayer with him. Yes, ma'am. Sister Sylvia. Okay, Sister Sylvia Burnett. We're praying for her. Of course, her brother Gary is here. Praying for Sister Sylvia. Praying for Brother Ralph. I see Sister Linda with a neck brace on, so we're praying for you, Sister Linda, as well. Anyone else this morning? Harry Gordon. We're praying for Harry Gordon in the precious name of Jesus. Brother Tim, we got you, sir. Edward Tisdale. Praying for Edward Tisdale, yes. Still lifting up in agreement, Brother Chris. Anyone else? Rich's mother, Janet. We're praying for Janet. Yes, ma'am. Praying for Sherry and Joey's sister, Sherry. So B's daughter Sherry and Joey's sister Sherry. So we're praying for them. Amen. Well, we're ready to pray. Does anyone feel it on your heart that you want to pray for the people today? You want to offer this prayer? You know, I'm always willing to do it, but if it's in your heart, I want you to come quickly and lift up this prayer. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much and we give you praise. As we come to you, we come to you in faith. We know that you said the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Father, so as we come trusting you that we have a covenant with you because of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of eternal life. It's a covenant of healing.